Now we come to the time of the preaching of the word. Pastor is not here, so Brother D will be preaching to us today. No need to say much, you all know Brother D. But I'm just going to read a couple verses from Philippians by way of introduction. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know of your state. For I have no one, verse 20, like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state." So we see the Apostle Paul here was sending Timothy to the church of Philippi because he couldn't make it there. So on behalf of Pastor, Pastor sending Brother D to you guys today. So receive him. God bless you.
Amen. This is good practice. Last week, I had the opportunity to introduce Brother Jermaine. And it so happened that we flipped the script. God is good. Pastor been training us over these months, these years, to prepare to preach. You know, he's been grooming us. And the last time we got together, Pastor gave us an outline how to preach. This was a month ago. So now we've been sharpening our beaks. But this was a little surprise this morning. But God is good. We're going to try our best to let the word of the Lord take its place. Amen. We want to use as a title this morning, Faithful Men. Faithful Men. We will not get very far, and we covet your prayers. So if you hear me stumbling along the way, just the Lord help him. Amen. In Sunday school, we've been studying the book of Philippians. Brother Jermaine, you know, I used the same section last week here to introduce him. You have some faithful men here. Specifically, three is mentioned. We might be able to talk about one and probably just summarize the other. The three faithful men that are mentioned here, we're talking about Paul himself writing to the church. We're talking about Paul is recommending Timothy to the church, and then Epaphroditus is later on. In their respective qualifications or roles, we have Paul is the apostle, the great preacher of the gospel, and we have Timothy at this time, a young minister that Paul is recommending to the Philippian church, and then Epaphroditus, a faithful brother, faithful layman, that Paul is also going to send to the church because of his faithfulness. How far are we going to get? Only the Lord knows. But thank God the clock will stop at 12:30. Amen. All right, let's pray. And then we'll do a little background in order to get to, when planes are cruising, in order to get up to that altitude to start the cruise. Amen. Our Father, we love you. We thank you. Your Lord, your Sovereign, and thank you that you knew about this day. Thank you now for your word. Thank you that it is rich, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and marrow and joints, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Use your word to minister to us today. We ask for strength, we ask for wisdom, we ask for direction. We commit it all to your hands, and again, we lift our pastor to you. Bless him, encourage him, Lord, and as it please you, raise him up for your honor, for your glory, for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have your Bibles. Brother Jermaine read from Philippians chapter 2. If you don't mind, let's go back over to Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 17 down through 30, so you can get a flavor of these faithful men. And then I'll back up a little bit lay some foundation, we might be able to just speak a little bit about the apostle himself. All right, starting at verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. So we have Paul, and here we have Timothy. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, faithful worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Amen. Three brothers here, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. When we were doing our Sunday school, and we started to focus on verse 18. But before we could go to verse 18, we had to back up to verse 17. And in order to go to verse 17, we had to back up to verse 16. And in order to go to 16, we had to back up to verse 15. And then we find ourselves keep backing up, backing up, backing up. But John MacArthur, he kind of summarized verses 17 and 18 this way. I rejoice, you rejoice. I rejoice in verse 17, the latter part of it. At the end, I am glad and rejoice with you. Paul is saying, I rejoice. And in verse 18, for the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So I rejoice, you rejoice. You're glad, I am glad. MacArthur says, an attitude of mutual joy ought to accompany any sacrificial Christian service. An attitude, mutual joy. Your joy, my joy, should accompany sacrificial Christian service. We kind of toss this around a little bit. Our New King James Version uses the word glad. The Old King James Version uses the word joy. Our joy and rejoicing. So we kind of aired that out a little bit last week. For the same cause, also you joy or glad, you joy and rejoice with me. Now, just to back up even further, we learn studying Philippians that the theme through the book is about Christian life, about our Christian lives. Amen. Brother Carson, I think, read it. Flip over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For context, verse 1 says, therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, verse 2 says, fulfill my joy, and being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now, this is the church that Paul is writing to. And this is what Paul is saying. It is possible that there is selfish ambition, that there is conceit here. But Paul says, I'm writing to you that nothing be done through these vehicles. But he says here, but on the flip side, right, you ought to be in lowliness of mind. Let each of us esteem others better than yourself. This is a hard saying, which is a good point. Elevate each other. Elevate each other. We're tired of just beating us down. Amen? Let's raise up. Let's raise up. All right? Look at verse 4. Let each of you look not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Amen? We are in New York City. And trust me, we are busy people. I thought when they said you are going to be an empty nester, I thought that was going to be fun. That's what I thought. Thank God, John, you're in school now. I'll get everything. My goodness. So I have to do the dishes too. You get the picture. Sister Joan, we've been busy. Not what you think, but I mean, things just kind of bubbles up, you know. But God is good. So here, let each of us look not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So we all took time and we kind of broke this down. Guess what we saw? We saw that we ought to be humble people as we serve each other. We ought to be obedient to God, ought to be obedient to His Word, just as Jesus did. Jesus was obedient to the Father. Flip over again, just for time's sake. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8. And being found in the appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself. Humbled himself. Humbled himself to the Father's will. And Jesus became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. He humbled himself. And so our Christian lives should be lives of humility. Ought making ourselves of no reputation. If you have too much reputation, you can't serve each other. You can't serve in lowliness of mind. Therefore, we ought to take off some of that pride and arrogance and let us be of no reputation. The Philippian church was the model that Paul was writing to, that they should do things pleasing to God without rebellion or complaints or any internal disputes. Philippians 2:15, Paul is writing to them, encouraging their hearts and saying to them here in 15 that they, the Philippian church, that you may become blameless, that you may become harmless. children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And Paul goes on to tell them that you may shine as lights in the world. You get the picture? When others look at us, when we step out here, it's a perverse and a crooked generation that we have to deal with. And when we step out here, Paul is saying to us, you ought to shine as lights. What the Bible says in, I think it's Matthew, let your light so before that they may your and the Father who is in heaven, let your light shine. All right, how is it shine? Serving one another. We can serve one another here. And, you know, we don't have to go outside. If we don't practice at home, we can't be good on the streets. Amen. So here, verse 15, we are to shine as lights. All right. Is that easy? And the church said, yes, Brother D, that's the easiest thing to do. You hear the pastor always talking about driving. You know, you're taking your time driving at the 25 miles. And some people, they just can't wait. And they and pass you just to go right in front of you through the red light. And as brothers and sisters, you say, uh-huh. But there are times when you say, what's wrong with him? You know, what's wrong with this crazy? And Sister Joan always say, pull to the side and let them go. But you have to be careful sometimes. You know, your ego gets in the way. Say, I'm not letting him go. She tells sometimes, I say, hey, you're just not passing me. not today. Anyway, you get the point. All right. It is not easy, right? It is not easy. And so Paul is pointing them to the one who laid the foundation. Jesus is the standard. And Paul is saying, I know it is difficult. Get objections all the time to be faithful. How difficult is it for us to be like Christ? All right. But although it is difficult, it is not impossible. Then this is where we have these three men that is being presented to us. And verse 17 gives us Paul himself saying to the Philippian church in 17, yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. If I'm being poured out, and this word poured out is one word that we kind of ponder over it. And to understand this pouring out and this drink offering, ordinarily we just read and just keep reading. But in order for us to understand this, we have to basically understand that the sacrificial faith, that only comes by surrendering to Jesus, to live our lives according to the scripture. All right. So what does this pouring out and this drink offering means? This is Paul's own attitude and conduct. What does it mean to be poured out? So what happened here is the Philippian church, I guess Paul recognized how they were serving. And one writer would say, the priests who were offering their lives sacrificially served faithfully in the Lord. How they were serving, Paul saw it as they were sacrificing their lives for the cause of Christ. Just picture an altar and picture what's going on that altar. Right? Just picture the altar. What they would put on the altar. All of the sacrifices. And just picture that thing burning. This is how Paul was envisioning the Philippian church. How they were living their lives. And then Paul comes along and say, I am an addition to your sacrifice. I am going to be this addition to your sacrifice. I am going to be a drink offering, a libation. And what you're going to do, you're going to pour me out on top of your offering. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to be poured out. This was how it was done in the pagan church way back when. And as he's writing to them, Paul is preparing for his martyrdom. Paul is preparing to be killed, right? And Paul is saying, now, my life is not important anymore. What is important is your faith that you are sacrificing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm coming alongside you, and I'm the drink offering that is being poured out on this sacrifice of your faith. And then in scripture, we read Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, just as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as what? Sweet smelling aroma. That pouring out, right? When it hits the fire, the sacrifice, guess what happened? That aroma comes off. That sweet smelling aroma. So Paul is saying here, this is my life. This is what I'm living. I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of your faith. And this picture here, Paul is saying, I'm glad and I'm rejoicing with you all. I'm rejoicing. This is a joy to me. And then, as Brother Jermaine was introducing me to speak, verse 18 ties to it. Paul is saying to them in verse 18, for the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Reciprocate. So what I'm doing for you, if you were in my position, you would have done the same. Faithfully serving God. Paul, great example for us. Amen. So when the Bible speaks that one plants, another water, God gives the increase. All of us together, working together here, to our pastor, pouring out on us. Women are the recipient of all of that pouring out. Amen. So we, pastor, I'm sure, pal, you're listening, pastor, so you can rejoice. Amen. You can rejoice and be glad. And here we're reciprocating. We can give back a little. So Paul is the faithful servant here, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's pouring out into this Philippian church. Amen. Let's push on a little bit. Hope you understand that. So we were chatting a little bit in Sunday school that Paul is a Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 type of a Christian. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living. This is where the Philippian church was, that living sacrifice. And Paul was being that drink offering pouring upon them. He's a Romans 12, 1 and 2 preacher. All right. Paul is saying to them, my life is not important. It is your service and faithfulness to God that is important. All right. Not here in scripture, but one writer says, when I am killed, it will only be the drink offering poured upon the altar for the great offering of your faith. Paul was placing his own achievements, even his martyrdom, at the very low point of the scale of Christian service. And I kind of draw a reference to this. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Paul writes here, but what things were gained to me? Right into the same group, same church. What things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that is in the Lord Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And the classic verse in 10, that I may know him. That I, Paul, this is Paul writing, that I may know him. All of this, all of the knowledge and the preaching and missionary work, Paul is still saying, I still don't know him. That I may know him. Paul writes, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know him. Amen. Do you think you know him? We have way to go. Amen. To know him. To humble ourselves like how he did. Right? Paul was holding up the faith and the achievement of his converts for admiration. Holding them up. Holding up one another for admiration. Therefore, he could say, I'm glad. And I am glad at my joy. I can rejoice. And you also can rejoice with me. It is worth it. Amen. We can't see it yet, but one day. One day. I was praying this morning, I'm thinking of the old prophets. Elijah died. Jeremiah died. Paul died. David died. Where are they? The scripture cannot lie. They are in heaven. And when we die, we're going to see them. Amen. You know, I think of my daughter all the time. Every day. We're going to see them again. The scripture cannot lie. God cannot lie. And if Jesus went back to heaven and he says, where I am, you're going to be also. He cannot lie. So, we have that assurance. Amen. Let's be faithful to him. That is an example of humility and obedience. Yes, that's Jesus who Paul was writing about. Do you show humility and obedience as you meet with other Christians? Or you want to show them how much you know? And how super Christian you are. If you need to apply Paul's self-evaluation to yourself, you need to reckon your own achievements not too highly. Not too highly. Paul's frame of mind was not something that came about in an instant. His humility was the product of a long relationship with God. Let me just pick on you for a little bit. Coming to church don't make you a super Christian. You have to spend time with God. You have to spend time with the Lord. Precious time with him. What do you like about praying in private? What do you like about that? You can tell God everything. The Bible says if we confess our sins, which means private. Everything is on the altar. Everything. Things that you're free to tell your wife is on the altar. Everything. And guess what? God knows it. That's the funny thing. He's asking you to tell him, to confess it. Lord, I messed up. It was wrong. I confess it to you. What's the flip side of that? He's faithful just to forgive you. So why harbor it? Let it go. Amen. So if we would emulate Paul in his self-effacement, we must be prepared to start at the very beginning. Amen. Start at the very beginning. We must learn small lessons in humility before we can learn the large ones. Amen. I tell you a very small lesson in humility. If you are using a hammer on a nail, and perhaps somebody distracted you, and the hammer came down at the wrong finger. Oh Lord, it hurts! If you are around the foul mouths, if you're in construction, you would have to probably stop your ears. Amen. Small lessons in humility. You know, in my Bible, reading through Mark, Mark is where my DQT is now. Something jumped out at me this week. Remember Jesus feeding the 5,000? Something jumped out to me this week. When the crowds were there and the disciples came to Jesus, there were so much of them. And the disciples wanted to chase them away, you know. And they came to Jesus and asked him, basically, what should we do? And Jesus said to them, give them something to eat. I pondered over that this week. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Don't come to me. You give them something to eat. I pondered over that. I said, Lord, but they don't know what to do. They can't buy enough to feed these folks. But why did Jesus turn to him and say, you give them something to eat? I'm still pondering over it. I'm really pondering over that. Flip with me over to Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 37. This is off topic now. I'll get back to the topic in a second. Verse 36 says, send them away. This is the disciples to Jesus, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. I'm still pondering over that. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give to them to eat? Should we go and do this? You give them something to eat. But here comes the hand of the master. What do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here comes the master. And he said, let them sit down. And the Bible said, he blessed it. Man, that thing fed 5,000. And they were leftovers. So in my devotion, give thanks for the small things that we have. My goodness. Let's go back on track. So that was Paul. Paul is glad and he's rejoicing with them all. Could we say that to one another, man? Glad and rejoicing with you. We're in the season now. We're to be thankful. And it's not what we receive. Amen. But what we? Yes. Just coming out of Thanksgiving, going into the Christmas season. There are many who need a little bit. Amen. And if you can. So Paul is asking the Philippian church to reciprocate in this way. For the same cause also you rejoice with me. You know, Brother Jermaine loves Matthew Henry. You love this one. So I kind of peek into what Matthew Henry had to say here. And hear what he says. He says, it is the will of God that good Christians should be much in rejoicing, and those who are happy in good ministers have a great deal of reason to joy and rejoice with them. If the minister loves people and is willing to spend and be spent for their welfare, the people have reason to love the minister and to joy and to rejoice with him. Amen. Well said. Well said. Let's propel that to East End Baptist. You have a minister? Is he willing to spend and be spent? You know the pastor got to be sick. Why he's not here today? You know he has to be sick. If not, he'll be here. He'll be here. You know, think about COVID time. He would come and preach to all of you empty benches. Well, Brother Brian was here. So you get double. So we could hear. Think about all of this cancer treatment. And even in Mexico, live on Zoom. So he had to be sick today. So when you're praying today, pray for him. Pray for him. The Lord would touch him. The Lord would heal him. I see the time is at 12:30. So let me just wrap up so I don't get off track too much. But this is an example of one faithful man, faithful brother Paul. Life is tough. The Christian life is tough. But brothers and sisters, it is not impossible. Amen? It's not impossible. So, since I've got your attention thus far, I think we can probably pause here. Because Timothy would need time to talk about him. But just to give us something to ponder over. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Here's another faithful brother. And Paul is recommending him to go to the church. And Paul, talk about Timothy this morning here. Like-minded. Paul is saying to them, this is a brother. When you see him, you see me. And we're chatting about they've been together. Paul trained him. He was with him, faithful brother. And when Timothy speaks, it's as if Paul is speaking. And we kind of had a good laugh this morning. You know, everything in Paul kind of rub off on Timothy. So when you see Sister Joan, when you see Sister Della, guess what? Pastor rubs off, amen? Our children are very smart. And if mother and father is not on the same page, they play you. When you're on the same page, and the children have a way, all right, I'm going to ask daddy. Or the mother will say, go ask your father. I'm not going to ask him because I know what he's going to say. No, you're on the same page. The same page, so there is no middle ground. Amen? We don't have time to develop Timothy this morning, but you get the picture. Amen? So we thank the Lord we're able to cover for the pastor. Just trust that your hearts are blessed. Our Father, we love you and we thank you, we praise you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your word. Lord, there is so much in it. I wonder if the psalmist could write, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Thank you that you love us and you care for us and continue to watch over us and to keep us safe. And again, we commit our pastor to your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen.